Take the Word and turn to 2 Samuel 13. And we'll be reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 39. Starting in verse 1, this is God's Word. Now it was after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so frustrated because of his sister Tamar that he made himself ill, for she was a virgin, and it seemed hard to Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very shrewd man. He said to him, "O son of the king, why are you so depressed morning after morning? Will you not tell me?" And Amnon said to him, "I am in love with Tamar, the sister of my brother Absalom." Jonadab then said to him, "Lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. When your father comes to see you, you say to him, 'Please let my sister Tamar come and give me some food to eat, and let her prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat from her hand.'" So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. When the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, "Please let my sister Tamar come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat from her hand." Then David sent to the house for Tamar and saying, "Go now to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him." So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house and he was lying down, and she took dough, kneaded it, made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. She took the pan and dished them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Have everyone go out from me." So everyone went out from him. And Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand." So Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the bedroom to her brother Amnon. When she brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." But she answered him, "No, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. As for me, where could I get rid of my reproach? And as for you, you will be like one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." However, he would not listen to her. Since he was stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. And Amnon hated her with a very great hatred, for the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Get up, go away." But she said to him, "No, because this wrong in sending me away is greater than others, than the other than that you have done to me." Yet he would not listen to her. Then he called his young man who attended him and said, "Now throw this woman out of my presence and lock the door behind her." She had a long-sleeved garment, for in this manner the virgin daughters of the king dressed themselves in robes. Then his attendant took her out and locked the door behind her. Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her long-sleeved garment which was on her, and she put her hand on her head and went away, crying aloud as she went. Then Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now keep silent, my sister, he is your brother. Do not take this matter to heart." So Tamar remained and was desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now when King David heard of all these matters, he was very angry. But Absalom did not speak to Amnon either good or bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister. Now it came about after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold, now your servant has sheep shears. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant." But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, we should not all go, for we will be burdensome to you." Although he urged him, he would not go, but blessed him. And Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" When Absalom urged him, he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Absalom commanded his servant, saying, "See now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say to you, 'Strike Amnon,' then put him to death. Do not fear. Have not I myself commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." The servants of Absalom did to Amnon just as Absalom had commanded. And all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. Now it was while they were on the way that the report came to David saying, Absalom has struck down all the king's sons, and not one of them is left. Then the king arose, tore his clothes, and lay on the ground, and all his servants were standing by with clothes torn. Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, responded, Do not let my lord suppose that they have put to death all the young men, the king's sons. For Amnon alone is dead, because by the intent of Absalom, this has been determined since the day that he violated his sister Tamar. Now therefore, do not let my lord the king take the report to heart. Namely, all the king's sons are dead, for only Amnon is dead. Absalom had fled, and the young man who was the watchman raised his eyes and looked. Behold, many people were coming from the road behind him by the side of the mountain. Jonadab said to the king, Behold, the king's sons have come. According to your servant's word, so it happened. As soon as he had finished speaking, behold, the king's sons came and lifted their voices and wept, and also the king and all his servants wept very bitterly. Now Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day, and so Absalom had fled and gone to Geshur and was there 3 years. The heart of King David longed to go out to Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon since he was dead. And that is God's word. So this chapter, it should give you many reminders of what we just read in Genesis in chapter 34 with Dinah. This chapter we see lust and rape and hate and murder. And we see at least three points perhaps. First, the perversion that must be abhorred in verses 1 through 22. Tamar here is trapped and ignored and raped and despised, banished and ruined. But that which Amnon did not do, we must do. And that is listen to Tamar. Verse 12, she clearly says, Know my brother, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Very same wording as what we saw with what happened to Dinah and her being raped. And we know this from there, rape is not to be done, but neither is incest. And here we have incest as well. It's just as disgraceful and a breaking of God's law. And this is why Tamar calls it in Hebrew, godlessness. And so Tamar is calling Amnon to consider the consequences, both for her and for him. For her, it'll be a reproach. For him, it says, verse 13, you'll be like one of the fools in Israel. So Amnon treats her like dirt and literally says, Get this out. He's not even considering her as a person. Get this thing out at the end of verse 15. Now here we often want to look on to this despicable act. We want to be like a sightseer in the moment of a great devastation upon a people, which we're all tempted to do. And what the Lord wants from us is not to sightsee and look at the perversion and kind of be amazed at the perversion, but to abhor the perversion of Amnon, to see the deep sinfulness of Amnon's deed and the sadness of that sinfulness in Tamar's condition. Second, we need to see the persons we ought to observe. And there's four male characters that are portrayed here as deficient. Amnon, who has passion without love. It should be sickening for us to see at the end of verse 2 that when he describes what his thoughts are about her, it says, as she's a virgin, it seemed hard to Amnon to do anything to her, as if he didn't really have the opportunity to do it. His love was not love, it was lust. And this is what is portrayed in our culture today, often. Music, television, movies, as okay. And next we have Jonadab, who has wisdom without principle, verses 3 through 5, and at the end of the chapter 32 through 35. This was Amnon's friend, this is David's nephew, and it says he was very wise, he was shrewd, he was skillful and sharp. This is the man who Amnon listens to. And it's this man who gives him the plan to take Tamar. After Amnon is murdered, it seems like Jonadab is the only calm and collected one around after that murder. This is a man who has skill without scruple. He leaks evil. Jonadab is the type of guy who will, you know, if he was here in our day, he would raise funds for a Christian institution and then also show you how to rape someone. Whatever you desire, he can give you wisdom on that, give you some idea of what to do, a plan. So may the Lord, as we see him, give us some prudence and integrity and sincerity so that we may keep ourselves from craftiness like that of Jonadab. After that is David. He has anger without justice. Verse 21, you see that he's very angry. David heard the account of what Amnon did, and he was very angry, and that's good. But that's all there was. And as David is king, that's bad, since that's all there was. For he is to exercise justice and rule according to God's law. And there was no punishment for David towards Amnon. Anger from the king should have led to justice, but it did not. And then finally we have Absalom, who has hatred without restraint. Again, very much like Simeon and Levi from Genesis 34. Verses 22 through 39 here, he shows us his hatred without restraint. We're just like this man who plotted to kill his brother. Titus 3:3 says that we were once spending our lives in malice and envy, hatred and hating one another. We were without hope except through the goodness and generosity of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus, we share Absalom's sinful nature. And so the picture before us is that no one is doing righteousness in Israel. No one. God had promised that disaster would arise from his own house due to his sin and adultery and murder in chapter 11. The sins here almost parallel David's sins. So the perspective that we must have, even in the midst of the horrible chapters, that Yahweh is fulfilling his word of judgment against the house of David. Everything seems to be going awry, yet Yahweh is fulfilling his word. It isn't pleasant, but God is, and the Lord Yahweh is still present. And that's where we find our comfort. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your clear word. Thank you that you are faithful even in your promises of judgment. You promised last week, as we saw in chapter 12, that you would set this house against each other, and that you would bring justice and consequences because of David's sin with Bathsheba and murdering her husband, Uriah the Hittite, an innocent man. And Father, here we see it, and we'll see it for many more chapters. The outworking of the consequences. And Father calls us to see the perversion here and not just be amazed by it, as is our sinful tendency. Let us be in awe of your holiness and righteousness and how sinfully, how easy it is to for us to fall into sin just like these sins here. Just as your word says that we are much like Absalom in our hatred and hating one another apart from Christ. That once we were that way, and yet you have saved us from such sin. And we pray that you would continue sanctifying us, that we would not fall into such sin. Because there are still tendencies within our own hearts and our own minds to seek vengeance for ourselves. And Father, this evening we ask that you would cause us to love you and love your commandments. For we know that your word says if we love God, then we will love and obey your commandments. As we learned this morning, give us grace to keep your law. Be faithful to your word. Be faithful to your promises. Just as you've promised for all those who believe and call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved, even from such sin that we see here. Whether it has to do with the sin of wisdom without integrity or murder or perversity or not seeking justice and praying for it. Lord, make us not like these men that we see here, but make us like your Son, Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.